Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Those Darn Guys Who Happen to Be Therapists. I'm Dr. Jim Weaver, along with Society Coach Therapist Hughes Craft, and couples therapist David Sam. Out into the potosphere of Hi, and welcome to our show today on the perfect relationship. We're going to be talking about that and seeing who's here with us. I'm going to have a Hughes on the line here in a minute and go from there. So as I said into the description of the show, there really is no perfect relationship. Well, I take that back. For guys, you know, we just had the Super Bowl yesterday. A woman in your life who says, watch all the football that you want, that can be a perfect relationship. So for girls, for women, it's guys who don't like to watch football at all. So we'll see where we're going with all that. Let me see here. There's Hughes. Hey, Hughes.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, buddy. Welcome.
Thank you. I was just having an imperfect relationship with my technology here, but I am here now.
All right. Well, I wouldn't have wanted to be doing this alone.
No. Well, you know, we're striving for our relationship, perfect relationship in podcast world.
There you go.
So what are we talking about today?
The perfect relationship.
Oh, geez. This should take all of about 5 or 7 minutes, huh?
Yeah, yeah. So go for it. Tell me what it is. Actually, you know, Carla Gilbert of the Rumor Girls has promised to call in. And I was talking to her the other night at Local 188, which is if you're anywhere near Portland or ever coming through Portland, Local 188 is a great restaurant, great place to eat. And she said that there was one word that would describe the perfect relationship. One word. So I hope she's going to call in. She didn't tell me what that word was. I said I didn't want to know. I would wait to be surprised on the air. So we'll see if she's calling in with us.
I wonder if it begins with S.
I'm sorry?
I wonder if it begins with S.
Now, see, that would be a guy response. You know what I'm saying?
Supportive.
Supportive.
Don't you think that's an element of a perfect relationship?
I don't know where my mind was going.
Well, I obviously helped you stop that train wreck.
Yeah, really?
No, I mean, perfect relationships, I throw that out there in jest and humor a little bit, but it really is an elusive thing, I think. It's a complex, complicated, multi-layered, convoluted, inside-out thing. And, you know, I think it's a thing to strive for, but is there such a thing as a perfect relationship?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, but I think before you came into the show, I was talking about, you know, the Super Bowl was yesterday, and I was saying that for guys, some guys, a perfect relationship is a woman that says, you can watch all the football that you want, all the sports that you want. And for women, really, and for women, it's, a guy who doesn't want to watch sports, that's the perfect relationship. But I was at a Super Bowl party and with my friends Joe and Gloria, and Gloria was throwing a great party and really into the game and so forth. So obviously they have a perfect relationship, but the rest of us struggle. So got any other ideas where you want to go with that? Go ahead.
Well, I'm just reflecting on my night with the Super Bowl. I didn't see my wife for 4 hours. She said, I'm leaving. Which was her way of taking care of herself around it. And, you know, there was a good balance between the two of us last night, I guess, you know, and it struck to be a perfect relationship. And had a nice breakfast together. There wasn't any conflict over who was doing or wasn't doing what.
Right.
So I don't know. Well, where do we go with this conversation? Does anybody out there want to call in and, I don't know, give us some thoughts about their ideas of a perfect relationship? We're here.
Yeah.
Take calls.
Go ahead. No takers so far, but we'll see what we got. Where was I? I'm blocked out. You go, Hughes. I'm fooling around with the switchboard.
Okay. Well, since you put this out here, I was thinking one of the things that's really really important for a perfect relationship. And I don't know, I struggle with that term perfect a little bit because I think it's something to improve on always is the depth of the relationship, the supportive nature of the relationship. You know, I think it's one of these things that can evolve over time, and in so much as I think that is kind of the definition of a perfect relationship, that interdependence, not independence or dependence, but interdependence on one another and supporting each other's personal growth, professional growth, interests, hobbies, unfolding over time. Because I think people they change all the time. And it's not like it's kind of locked into something. You know, it morphs over time. So if I can be supported and find myself supportive of my partner, spouse, whoever, you know, it makes for a richer dynamic ongoing, which I think, which is a pretty healthy thing, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. One of the concepts that I like is striving for a win-win situation. Mm-hmm. And I think that's more complex than it sounds in the beginning. I think it takes real effort and real work to figure out what is a win for the other person. I mean, you really have to listen to them. You really have to understand them. And you really sometimes have to get below or beyond the wants, because you can want something. That doesn't mean you need it. But I think you really have to be focused on trying to provide the other person what they need, because you love them and you want them to have what they need. And I think the same thing is true of you. You really love yourself and should. And you want, you know, to have your needs met. And sometimes the wants can get in the way of really understanding what the needs are. Like, you know, I was talking about football before. I don't think anybody needs to watch football, but you want to watch football. But a need underneath all that is you really need connecting time with your buddies, male bonding time. And the same thing is true on, you know, on the female side. You know, I think to try to see what's the real need, and then you have to be very, very creative about how you're going to make those two things match. You know, if you're with a woman who's not really into sports, how do you get your sports time? How do she get her time with you? That's really what she needs. And I think all of those things are particularly important.
And what you're commenting on is really understanding, seeing, knowing that there's something more there than just the football game. You know, as you commented, that there's time to connect with buddies, that sports are about watching drama, that there is a connection maybe to my history around football that is really important to me, that I continue to kind of watch and understand the game or kind of get pulled into the two sides. And there is a lot to it, and, you know, it can be easy to say I want to watch the game and I need to watch the game. I never hear anybody kind of say, I need to watch the game. It's more like I want to watch the game. But I think you speak to a neat thing about really there's more underneath of it.
Yeah. Well, I think I know some guys that you don't know. Some guys think it's absolutely a visceral, a primal need to watch football or some other sports. Sometimes it can feel like that to me. If it's my team, and sometimes it's important to accommodate somebody else's needs. It's not the thing that you're really into, but because you love the other person, you're really willing to share a little bit of that, you know?
Yeah. And not roll your eyes.
Right.
To really understand that it's important to this other person and that there's value there and to strive for openness that I may learn something if I do move in that direction a little bit.
Right. Let me give out the call-in number.
Yeah.
It's 347-677-1667 for you to call in and join us. And we've got a caller on line two. Let me see who they are and what they're wanting to talk about. Hi, welcome to Darn Guys.
Hi, Jim. It's Carla.
Hey, Carla.
How are you?
Good.
I was listening to your show, but I had to eat my breakfast really quickly before I could call in.
Oh yeah, well, we want you to have plenty of nourishment so that you.
So I can talk.
Yeah, really.
So, Carla, give it your all. Very courageous to be our first caller. So.
Oh yay!
This is a monumental moment for Jim and I.
Oh, I'll always be your first.
All right. That's right. Okay, Carla.
So, yeah. Are you waiting for my one word?
Yeah, I built you up here, and I'm waiting for that. I mean, let me just tell Hughes that. Carla and Frank, I mean, Carla's fantastic and Frank is fantastic. And so it's no wonder that they have a perfect relationship. So
perfect.
Yeah.
No, my one word that I've learned in my short existence, in my bad relationships and all my relationships that I've had, and I'm not even talking about just in a physical, boyfriend, girlfriend, or husband-wife relationship, but I learned this even through other relationships throughout my life. There's one word that makes every relationship as close to perfect as you can get, and it's communication.
Absolutely.
Communication is key. If you don't communicate, you can't build on that relationship. It's too difficult. If you can't openly communicate, and I learned this with probably being in my relationship with Frank is when I really learned it.
Yeah.
And it's made it easy because it's so easy to communicate with Frank. We just both communicated right from the beginning of our relationship that it's actually trickled out into other, like my friendships in my life. And I learned how through communicating so well with him that it's not that difficult and it's not that scary that I can do it with other people.
Right. You just brought up a very interesting word, which is scary. And I think that gets in the way of, a lot of people communicating. If I'm going to say my true feelings, if I'm going to say my needs, am I going to get hurt? If I make myself heard, am I going to get hurt? Am I going to make myself vulnerable? It's scary to get vulnerable. But I think that's the essence of intimacy.
It is.
Keep yourself vulnerable.
It totally is. So that is my big word that I've learned
big word.
In my lifetime. Communication is key.
Yeah.
It's kind of ironic that we, Jim and I, did not come up with that word. We're guys, It was like.
Well, guys don't tend to communicate as well, but I think once it's a trusting relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like where you have that, trust and you can just, communicate with each other. It makes it so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
Being open and honest and It's huge.
Well, I think that's a close second word, because I'm with you. You know, if I can't trust my partner to listen to me or to communicate their needs, wants, desires, dreams, if I am not safe or feeling trusting of putting my stuff out there that I'm going to get criticized or critiqued back in a negative way, why would I want to go there? You know, so
exactly.
They live close hand in hand, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah.
White space.
White space.
No dead air.
So you and your sister Karen.
Yes. We communicate very well.
Do you?
Oh yeah.
That's great.
We always have, and that's what I mean. Like in relationships. Like not so much just in a physical relationship, but in like, you know, with my sister, with my friends.
Right.
It's really important.
Yeah. And it's tough those times when you feel hurt or you feel upset. And, you know, how do you communicate that? The other part of that communication is being the other person listening, you know, really listening.
Well, I think a lot of times in relationships why people don't communicate is because, you know, for example, if you love someone so much and you're going to tell them something that you think may hurt them, you don't want to do it because you don't want to hurt them. So then you hold back from what you really need to say.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah.
And it's not so much that you're not communicating well because you don't love them or whatever. It's you do love them, and that's why you're holding back, because you don't want to hurt them. You don't want to say things. And no one wants to, you know, hurt the person that they're in a relationship with. So
right.
It can be tricky. I think building trust is big, too, in a relationship.
See, now you're going for more than one word.
Well, trust and communications. But you know what? You need to communicate. I don't know what you need to have first, trust or communication.
Well,
I think they go hand in hand.
Yeah, and I think...
Carla, you sound like a relationship expert. Now, I have a question for you. Does it help? I have something painful to say to my friend or spouse, to let them know that I have something painful to say to them before I say it.
To let them know that I'm gonna tell you.
Yeah,
it's gonna.
You mean to
gonna
warn
be hard.
Them?
With you.
Oh yeah, I think that you should probably warn them before.
Yeah,
that I have something
you know,
I have to. Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I'm not used to this, because usually when I hang out with girls or talk with my sister, we just cut each other off, and then the next person has their random, you know, outburst and thought. I'm not used to people listening to me.
I thought you said you were in a good relationship with Frank.
Oh, Frank listens to me. Oh, that's the key. No, I'm just kidding. No, but I think that it's good to, you know, just... Are you saying that you want to tell, like, if you have somebody in a relationship that, you know, you're in a relationship and you want to tell them something that may end up hurting them, to warn them first?
Yeah, just to kind of set the stage a little bit before I step into it. You know, kind of like I have something that I've been holding on to, and it may not be easy to hear, and it's really heavy for me to share this, and I need to share this with you. Are you available? You think it would be helpful to kind of set the stage a little bit before?
Yes, definitely.
Drop it in my lap?
Definitely, because then if you just blurt it right out, it can come as a shock. Or sometimes if you do set the stage and then you tell them and you were thinking it was going to be worse, you know, or they're going to react worse than they actually are, you know, so it kind of will either prepare them or soften the blow, you know.
Yeah. You know what I think happens for folks a lot, too? It's kind of like, you know, I hold on to something and then I'll add to it and I add to it. And then I go to share and then there's like 12 things. And they're all heavy, and I expect the outcome, and it doesn't happen, and it's just a mess, you know?
Yeah,
but, so
that's
I think
hard.
Yeah, so I think it's important to be mindful about how we go about sharing the heavy stuff, too. You know?
Yeah, and also, like, if, you know, sharing the heavy stuff and asking for help with the specifics that you really need dealt with right away.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's another thing, too. People tend to not want to ask for help in things. Or, you know, what they need to be accomplished from whatever the situation is. That's just my thought.
I think you bring in another interesting word here, help. You know?
Help.
Yeah,
I think you know, people in relationships are partners. You're a partner in that relationship, and you know, there's sort of mutual help. You want somebody who's going to be there for you. You want somebody who's going to cover your back in tough situations or tough times. And there's a commitment there to be there for each other.
Well, don't you think a lot of people don't look for a partner, though? Like when they're
looking
at a relationship or whatever, they're not really thinking, like, could this person be my partner? Not, is this person going to take care of me, you know, with all my needs that, you know, that's, I think a lot of people look for that in a relationship rather than a partnership.
Right. We're telling them not to do that.
Yes, exactly. A lot of people look for, you know, someone who can take care of me or someone who can take care of or fulfill these needs, but not someone that we can work on, you know, what we need in a relationship.
Yeah.
Or like has that 50-50, like, you know, we help each other out with certain situations and
yeah.
I don't know, that's just my thought.
Yeah, no, I think that's a very good point about, you know, what are you looking for the other person to do for you? But it really does have to be mutual, and you have to say, okay, I am love this person, I'm committed to this person, I want to take care of this person and take care of their needs. I was listening to some statistics a few days ago that in 1802 they did some statistical analysis, and the average of widowers in terms of when they got remarried was like 18 years. 2002, it was around 8 months. In California, in 2002, the average was 3.5 months. 3.5 months. I mean, how can
how do you
even
have time to heal?
Yeah, and process what's happened to you. And, you know, get to know somebody else in terms of whether they could be a partner for you. I think one of the things that happens in relationships is you really don't know who that other person is and how you're really going to work together till you go through something a little difficult, either between you or something that's happening for one or the other of you. You don't really know how you're going to do with significant stuff, serious stuff. And you're not going to find that out with somebody. That's the average 3.5 months. So that means that there were people, widowers, you know, somebody dealing with their spouse's death, who are getting involved in another
relationship like the next day.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was so shocking to me. I had no idea. We live in a very, very instant gratification.
We do. We really do.
Yeah. So,
it's part of that perfect relationship now, and there isn't a lot of time to work into a healthy relationship. It takes time, and there's less time for relationships.
Well, don't you think, too, from, you know, 18, whenever, I'm not sure exactly the year that you said, to 2002,
yeah.
1802 to 2002, huge amount of emphasis, just I know from, you know, working with a lot of women and having, you know, being around a lot of young women, there's a lot of sex involved. Like, sex is huge. I mean, I don't think back in 1802 that you could turn on the TV, which there wasn't even TV, and see half the stuff you see, or read, you know, In Touch Weekly, which wasn't around then, or, you know, all these things that are just geared towards sex. Like, sex is huge in a relationship now. It's, like, I can't even tell you how many friends I have that, or girls that I'm around that say, you know, if the sex isn't good, then the relationship isn't good.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Not to take it down that road, but...
Yeah, well, Hugh's tried to take it down that road earlier, but we...
It is a piece that brings couples together initially, usually.
Right, right.
You know, there's a cloud and a fog that comes that wraps around the relationship, and it's easy to say perfect relationship because there's perfect sex.
Yeah,
exactly.
And that, you know,
yeah,
substitutes for all these other things of communication and trust and asking for help and unfolding of one's life.
And that physical attraction is important, and, you know, to be physical and intimate with each other is a part. You know, it's a big part, but as we're talking about, it's not the whole thing. And then, you know, as that intense passion starts to slow down, you then have to look and see, well, what else is here? And if you haven't really built up a partnership, a friendship, a personal connection with that person, it can be difficult. I think a lot of people get into relationships, you know, sexual attraction, have kids, and then focus so much on the kids that they lose the connection with each other. And it takes work to stay connected when you've got, you know, a lot of responsibilities and so forth with raising a family. You also get some of your needs met by interacting with your kids. And so if you're, rather than saying, okay, I'm not going to talk to my spouse about what's missing, I'm going to go over here and get it, then that pulls you further and further apart.
Yeah, I can see how, you know, I don't have, I guess why I can say my relationship is so great is because I don't have the externals of, you know, children and, you know, I have a good job. I have, you know, everything in my life is in a really good position that I can enjoy my relationship more than I think people who have jobs where they're not happy with them. You know, they have a family and they're running around to different events and different, you know, sports that they're in and all that stuff. So, you know, you have a lot more obstacles and it's harder because you're not around each other as much to communicate. So I can see how that can be.
So I'm going to put a plug in here for the necessity of time. You know, because time sounds like
absolutely
a factor for just kind of, you know, keeping it alive, getting to know each other, having time to communicate, have sex, whatever, you know. Sounds
yeah.
Like an important ingredient along with communication and trust.
Well, anything that's important to you, you put time into. And then, you know, if your relationship is important to you, you need to put time. So we're winding down here. We've only got a couple minutes left. Carla, thank you very much for calling in, and your insights are terrific. And it's great to have you on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me on your show and being
all
the
right.
First.
And the first. Okay. Bye bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Well, Jim, we didn't answer the question, what is a perfect relationship, within 7 minutes.
No, but we've got about a minute left, so maybe we should, no. I guess we need to wrap up, talk about, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking, you know, this is a great topic, and, you know, we'll keep plugging away at this and other topics along the way here. But this is a very powerful topic.
Yeah, and next week our topic is going to be finding the right person. How do you do that? And by the way, Sally Bowden-Scheibel has confirmed, and she will be our guest on the, I think it's the 23rd, Monday the 23rd, talking about Buddhist psychology and her Living Well Center. So Hughes, great to be with you, and we'll be back there next week.
We'll talk to you in a week. Have a great week, Jim.
And what's that, buddy?
I was just going to say goodbye to the listening crowd, and please pick up the phone and dial in next time.
All right. So, again, we're going to have Megan Jo Wilson take us away with her song, Take Me Away. Love Megan Jo Wilson. So here she is. And see you next week. Bye-bye.